When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi friends, the world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Let's party!
Hey, Dylan.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. Guys, I have been waiting since we started this show to talk about this Christmas album. Tonight, we're talking about the Family Force 5 Christmas album, dude. My favorite Christian band. So for the first time ever, I'm bringing the Christian music values to the podcast.
Fair enough. And here's my problem. I want to state this with the Family Force 5 episode right out the gate.
Not enough God.
No, sorry. Yeah, it was really lacking God in this one. So my problem is, like, I remember going to Purple Door Fest. So Purple Door Festival was a Christian music festival that was held in Lancaster, PA, or Harrisburg, yeah. somewhere fairly close to where I live.
So you grew up in the church, right?
I grew up in the church, but Purple Door was my festival. Like, most people grew up with, like, Creation Fest, and that was like, oh, here's all, like, the contemporary Christian artists, like, playing in one. Purple Door
is, yeah, an awesome guy.
Exactly. Purple Door was like, hey, here's all of the bands that are on Tooth and Nail and Solid State. Like, it was like a punk and metal festival. So, like, you would get there and it would be three stages. There'd be like the main stage, and that would be like headlined by like Blindside or POD or like whoever was like the big mainstream
POD.
Yeah, like it was like whoever was like the big mainstream band at that time was the headliner usually. And if there wasn't a big mainstream band at that time, it was usually Supertones or Five Iron Frenzy. Like, it was like there wasn't, you kind of knew what you're getting in for on the main stage. So then there was the HM stage, which stood for heavy music.
Creativity.
Very creative. But that's like, that was where you would go and you would see like The Chariot followed by Norma Jean, followed by like Zayat. Like, it was like all of like the death metal, the speed metal. And then there'd be like peppered into there would be like the indie rock artists. So it was like really, it was a really weird vibe. Like, I would usually stay at that stage because that's where I would also see like Juliana Theory and May. But it's like, yo, this band sound does not blend with like The Chariot coming up next with our borderline grindcore. Yeah. But then there was, I forget what the third stage was called, but it was basically like the artsy stage where like every once in a while, like I know I saw Paramore play there, but like more often than not, it was stuff like An Othello. Like, I'm not sure if you ever heard An Othello before. Family Force 5 played that stage. Like, I feel like that was okay. The stage where they just were like, I don't know what genre this is. And I remember hearing them doing the stuff that you kicked this off with, like Love Addict or like Ugly People, Put Your Hands Down. And I was like, this band's amazing. And then, like, they didn't really do anything. Like, I have a demo of them from before their first album came out, because that's all they had when they played Purple Door. Was like this 5-song sampler that was just burnt on a blank disc that they just put a business card inside of. And I'm pretty sure they got signed at Tooth and Nail at that Purple Door show.
That. Yeah, that's cool.
So I was like, this band's amazing. And that was like the beginning of the crunkcore scene. They were the most crunkcore band I was into for sure. And I think it was because they were like just barely crunkcore anyway. Yeah. But whatever crunkcore, rapcore, what do you want to call them, dance metal you want to factor them into, by the time the second album came out, that was already kind of faded out of their sound.
Yeah.
And while I enjoy what I've heard off of Do and Die, and this is kind of a precursor to what I'm about to talk about with Christmas Pageant, I enjoy elements.
The album is called Dance or Die.
Sorry, whatever. I enjoy this, but in my brain, it always feels weird that this is the same band that put out Business in the Front, Party in the Back, because that album was like never left my car. Like that album was pumping in my car for like 5 years. So when like it wasn't this weird, like heavy, dancey, I didn't know how to describe it type music, like. Yeah. It always just feels weird to me when I hear it. So I'm just giving that as a precursor to when I am maybe kind of ultimately like I liked the album, but there are definitely tracks that I feel like if I listened to them more and got more exposed to them over the years, I would like them more than I did. But I always just feel lukewarm towards Family Force 5 because it's never as good as that first time I heard the band.
I can get like, behind that. My history with Family Force 5, it's so funny because I went to Catholic school for 9 years, so I kind of grew up in or around the church as well. But if anyone knows anything about like Catholicism and that offshoot of Christianity, it's not the same scene as like the youth group scene.
It's not a lot of fun. The fun is turned down a lot in the Catholic scene.
Exactly, which is so funny because it's also quite the opposite, where I can do whatever the hell I want as long as I ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
but
it's weird how that works out.
Yeah. I went to youth group a couple times, but it was never at my church. It was always like I would go to my cousin's house and they had youth group that night. So it'd be like, we're going to go to youth group. And I'm like, what is this? And it was like a big party in a church and we're all like dancing and singing songs and it looks like a concert and it's so much fun. And then like 20 minutes in, they're like, all right, we're going to get Jesus-y now. And then they start. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what this is. But what's so funny is like, I didn't discover Family Force 5 until I was in high school. So 2006. And that's kind of when they were getting their start as well. It was around that time. It was the MySpace era. And I heard the song Love Addict. I was a theater kid in high school, still am. And one of the kids was playing Love Addict on the boombox that we would listen to before shows. I'm like, what is this? This sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then I went and I borrowed the Business Up Front, Party in the Back CD from a friend and fell in love with it. And then I started digging a little deeper in Family Force 5 and saw that they had recently put out a new album, Dance or Die. And the only song I'd heard off of it was Radiator. For those of you who don't know, Radiator is like the one song on Dance or Die that kind of sounds similar to the songs on Business Up Front, Party in the Back. So I'm like, this fucking rules! Like, this is such a great song. So I bought the Dance or Die CD at like Walmart or something. And I'm sitting there, I put it in my CD player, and it was a genuine look of, what the fuck is this? What the hell's going on? Fast forward like 2 weeks later, and it's all I'm fucking listening to is that Dance or Die album. I absolutely adore that album. And I love the follow-up to it, which was called Dance or Die with a Vengeance, where they just brought in a bunch of their friends to do remixes of their songs. They got the lead singer of Reliant K to do a song. They've got the guy from Secret Handshake to do a song. They bring in the guys from 303 to remix a song for them. Like, it was really fun. It was more of where the first album was very like rap rock, like this was very dance rock.
Yeah, I feel like they almost, I was saying crunkcore, and that's not appropriate at all. They're
they always get roped into that scene. And yeah. I think it was because they were getting big around the MySpace era and nobody knew how to classify them. Because to me, Broken Side and Family Force 5 are two completely different
things.
That's
what I was going to say. Family Force 5 has more in common with Kesha than it does with Broken Side. They definitely had more of like a dance.
It was more of a dance rock thing. And the Dance or Die with a Vengeance leaned even heavier into that electronic sound. The problem is that after Dance or Die, and even after the Christmas pageant album, is that's what they kept hearing was like, where's the sound from the first record? And if you listen to the third album, which is just titled 3, it kind of goes back to that sound. As much as I enjoy that sound, I think I developed more of a liking for the Dance or Die album.
This is one thing that I do hate. I don't like when a band that I like changes their sound.
Yeah.
But I really don't like when they just go back to their sound. Yeah. Like that was always my complaint with something like, I think that This Addiction by Alkaline Trio is a very good album.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, man, you guys were like really maturing as artists and then you just kind of gave in to people complaining and then just made like God Damn It Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like it is almost like a little disheartening because I'm not into that fan service that much, which is like what I love about Green Day, which is that Green Day has just kept being Green Day. Like they're like, this is the fucking music we want to make. Like, sorry that we're 40 and don't want to be writing Dookie again.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, that's the thing is like, I don't like new Green Day. But I can also guarantee I would not like it if they came out with another Dookie or Insomniac or something
That's like I would make the same argument with Weezer. Like, even if a band is putting out albums that I don't like, if they're creatively stretching themselves, I'm into it. Because I want to see a band evolve and like push their limitations than like just see them produce the status quo for 20 years.
Exactly. So what's unfortunate about Family Force 5 is after that third album,
like half the members are gone, right?
Unfortunate is kind of a not a great term for this. Soul Glow, which is one of the Olds brothers, one of the main three of the band, left to go raise his son or raise his kid. I don't remember if he has a son or a daughter, but to go be with his family. Asshole. So yeah, what an asshole. No, that's awesome for him. But Pruton took over vocals, and he always was like secondary vocalist in the band. But also, like, every song that Pruton would lead sing on, I hated. So, like, when he became the main singer, I was like, this is kind of not great. They kept going on with the five that was left, because they brought in another drummer. And they put out another album.
Time Stands Still.
It led more into Dance or Die. But again, I am not a huge fan of his vocals to begin with, so I wasn't super into it. And then they also did another Christmas song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and I didn't like that. And then basically three of them left, and the only two left were Pruton and Fatty, which are like the only Olds brothers that were left. And they did an EP. They changed their name to FF5, and I actually got a chance to interview them around that time, the FF5 time, and it sounded like they wanted to continue on, but I think at that point they were just like, yeah, we want to keep making music, but like this thing isn't gonna work out anymore. So unfortunately they're not around anymore. But this album, the Christmas Pageant album, has pretty much been a part of my regular Christmas rotation since it came out in 2009.
All right, well, let's dive into it. It's okay. 10 tracks. Two originals and 8 covers.
Yeah.
We'll do the reverse of how I've done the Happy Christmas. You say the song and I'll tell you the note that I wrote, and then we'll go from there.
All right. That sounds good. So we kick off with a huge, like, blaring horn as we lead into Carol of the Bells.
I've been waiting my whole career for this.
And I said for this one, I'm really not crazy about the auto-tuned vocals on this one, but I like the beat. I think I would have liked this song more if it was just straight up an instrumental track for like a minute and a half.
Yeah, it's really weird, and I think it really sets a tone for what you're getting 90% of this record. Around this time, this was before album three. This was right around that Dance or Die. We're really leaning into the synth. We're really leaning into the auto-tune. And I mean, that was 2009,
oh, if you for
remember
sure.
it. I mean, that was just the big thing in general.
My complaint isn't about the auto-tune throughout the album. It's the usage on the vocals on this specific track feels off.
Yeah, I'll play my phone here for me.
Yeah, like at least...
From my family five.
Yeah, like I'm just like, I can barely understand what you're saying. Like, yeah. Level of auto-tune. Like I said, I thought that the actual instrumentation of this cover is kind of fucking cool. I just wish I liked the vocals more.
It's a really cool way to do the song, like a dance version of Carol of the Bells. My biggest complaint about this song, and it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, is... In this song, Solomon, Soul Glow, and Crouton kind of go back and forth with their vocals. And again, no hate against like Crouton, but I am much more of a fan of Soul Glow. And I think he just takes a back seat for most of this Christmas album. But this is a song that when I first heard the album, fuck yeah! Now yeah. I skip it. Honestly, I skip it because it just gets on my nerves now. It's not bad. It's just... not something I listen to a lot of. Next up, we have one of my favorite jams on the album, which is their cover of Little Drummer Boy.
So I didn't write too much. I just said this is a little bit more my speed.
Yeah.
So I would say that it took me maybe 3 or 4 tracks to really get invested into this album. But Little Drummer Boy, I was like, okay, this is a little bit more of what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And it's a quick one. You know, it's under 2 minutes. Little Drummer Boy's in and out.
And honestly, whenever you're showing me those Happy Christmas albums and I come across one of those weird, like, synthy songs, this is the song that pops in my head as well. This is always the song that I compare it to. Funny enough, Crouton is the one leading the vocals on this one. So even though I said before, like, he gets on my nerves, I think this is perfect. I love when he goes into that high pitch, like, whiny sound. It's very Drummer Boy. It's very, like, drumline, hi-hats, and it's just, it's a lot of fun. I really do. I like their cover of Little Drummer Boy. And it's so funny that I brought up this record for us to listen to, because we mentioned it before when we were talking about your opinion off air. There are some songs that I just do not like on this album.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
So next up, we have a song from one of the greatest Christmas specials of all time, Charlie Brown's Christmas, Family Force 5's cover of Christmas Time Is Here.
Christmas time is here. Yeah, no, it's arguably a better version of the song than the original. But no, I in all seriousness, I actually really do like the direction that they went with this cover.
I love this cover of Christmas Time Is Here. Again, it's just so happy. That's what I want.
Yeah.
In there's a Christmas album, is it's just so fucking happy.
There's two covers on this that I would be willing to say might actually be my favorite version of those songs. And
ooh, is Christmas this one
Time
of them?
Christmas Time Is Here is one of them.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can take your opinion of that so seriously, since you are an avid Charlie Brown hater.
A little bit, but whatever. It's fine.
Next up, we have my favorite cover of this song, a song we talked about a couple weeks ago. And this is the version of the song that makes me think of it as a Christmas song. Mainly because this is the version I heard all the time. I used to listen to this album. I have distinct memories of listening to this album while I was cleaning up the house around Christmas time. Actually, around this time of year, we're like mid-November. I'm cleaning up the house, getting ready for Thanksgiving and everything else, and I would just have this album playing. And this is one of the songs that would play, and that's my favorite thing.
And my note is, I get why Dylan likes this cover so much.
Okay, explain.
I don't know, because I listened to this like a week and a half ago, but yeah. I think that I enjoyed it as a cover, but I also feel like it very much has the Dylan stamp of approval in just the way it sounds, because it's not as boring as the version that we
it's
all know.
It's very 2009.
Yes.
Like it is.
I feel like that could describe every single song on this album.
You're
actually,
not lying. It's very 2009. I mean, if you hated the auto-tune in Carol of the Bells, like, we turned it up to 11 in My Favorite Things. But I think the difference is like, he's singing in My Favorite Things, where Carol of the Bells, he was, like, talking and trying to rap, and it didn't sound as good. But I like it here. Raindrops and roses and whiskers on the kittens.
Yeah, it's definitely less in your face this round.
Yeah, I dig it. And I hate the show that song comes from, but I do love that version of it. Next up, we have Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains.
I wrote down, I genuinely don't think a bad version of Angels We Have Heard on High exists. I just have always liked this song.
It's such a great song.
It's you know what it is? A lot of Christmas songs, a lot of church-based Christmas songs, we will say. They're not really like the greatest melodies of all time, but like Angels We Have Heard on High, there's something about the melody of that song that like I don't even care. Like just hearing that, like there's just something very aesthetically pleasing about the way that that song is. And then of course you get into like the glow.
It's so good, dude. It gives me chills. Even like, it's weird to say a Family Force 5 song gives me chills, but like even their cover of it, I'm like, when they do that and the music's picking up,
December 17th we're doing that charity live stream. And we did one last year as well, but my brother is, again, we're going to reuse some of the old bumpers that he did, but we're also going to try to get a couple new ones in there.
Nice.
But he did a really cool one to an 8-bit version of Angels We Have Heard on High, which is also fucking awesome. So
yeah, if I've learned anything this past week, is that I love chiptune and 8-bit Christmas music.
So oh,
for
sure.
I've been playing it in the classroom a lot, so it's great. But Angels We Have Heard on High, I think this is a great cover. Kind of adding on to what I was saying during the last song, I've gotten to a point where I've heard this album so many times where I will skip a lot of the songs because I've just heard them so many times. Angels We Have Heard on High is one that I will never skip. Along with Christmas Time Is Here. Those are two songs that I do not skip when they pop up.
Now, there's one more on here that I think would be a no skip for me.
All right. Now, next up, we have... Do you hear what I do? You hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I do? You hear what I hear? Do you hear what I do? You hear what I hear? Do you hear what I do? You hear what
I wrote? I have no clue how to feel about this cover. I don't think I liked it, but I also wasn't like, ugh, this sucks. But I was just kind of like, what is this? I feel like it was an experiment. And I appreciate that they tried, but I don't think it was a success.
Like, my feelings on Do You Hear What I Hear kind of relate more to the song than this cover.
I mean, the song sucks to begin
with. I hate this fucking song. And the song that my mom would always play in the car is that stupid fucking Rosie O'Donnell and Elmo version. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No, but I don't want to.
Oh my god, it is Rosie O'Donnell and Elmo singing this song. Like, as a call and response. When I was a kid, I was like, this is fucking awesome! And now I listen to it, I'm like, this is garbage. I can't get into it. I don't like the song. and the only way to make the song worse is to make it like a rap anthem version of the song. And yeah, that's what they did here, and it's I am not a fan of it. Like, again, just like
we're
you
about
said,
to hit,
props to trying.
We're about to hit what I would call the rough patch of the album.
it's definitely it. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but there's about 3 tracks that we're about to hit that I'm just
This would be a really great EP.
Yeah, this would be a really good 7 song EP. Six songs.
That's all I'm asking for. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into this next one, because this is when I was like, oh no.
All right. So the next song,
I don't know what this is.
Is a straight up, like, take everything you know about Family Force 5 off your brain and just bring in Soul Glow and Crouton, and they just straight up rap "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
I did not like any second of this.
Now, I don't know. I don't like 90% of this song, but that 10%, can you guess? Guess what 10% of this song I love.
I'm going to be totally upfront with you. If it's after the 2-minute mark, I didn't make it that far.
On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Vixen, on Comet and Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. I love the fucking singing of the reindeer names.
Sure,
to the top
fine.
Of the bush, top of the wall, dash away, dash away, oh, dash on. Twas the night before Christmas.
Similarly to what we just said about Do What Christmas. Do You Hear What I Hear? You know, props for trying. But this was a misstep.
You
experiment.
Would rather listen to me rap.
Yeah, no, I'd rather you just do the whole song. Yeah, it was.
It's not good, but I do like that little chorus, that little hook part.
You either do it super sincere or go for the rafters goofy, and this felt like it was goofy, but no one told them.
Like, yeah. They're like, you know what would be cool if we rapped it?
And they're like, as a goof, right? And they're like, what? But that, you know what?
So
I'll take this over the next couple things that happen to us.
Oh my God. So I guess the best thing I can say about the next song, It's Christmas Day, is like, this was their way of saying, hey, let's sincerely write a Christmas song. Like, let's sincerely do a Christmas song. Next song is It's Christmas Day.
So I already knew this song because it appeared on Happy Christmas Volume 4.
Okay.
And I want to read something to you on the Wikipedia page. The single It's Christmas Day received favorable reviews from John DeBlasi of JesusFreakHideout.com, commenting, another surprise highlight is the entirely uncharacteristic original song, It's Christmas Day, a pop ballad that's fashioned perfectly to the pop radio and will stand the test of time longer than any of the covers on this album. Wrong.
Yeah.
This is a really forgettable song.
It really
is. It's kind of a boring song.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't want to... This is far from the worst song on this record.
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
but it is boring as hell.
What's bad is that I am familiar with the song and had heard it yearly for the last 10 years.
And I could not
tell you what the... Like, if you were like, how does the melody of that song go? I would be... unable to produce
the
you a
result.
The only
thing I remember about this song is at one point they go, it's Christmas Day. Like, that's it. Which is the title of the song.
Yeah. All right, let's get to...
Oh, my God. So next up, we have what's probably the cringiest song on this record, which I have... I'm going to be completely honest. I haven't listened to this song in years. And even knowing we were going to revisit this song, I didn't re-listen to this song because it makes me feel uncomfortable. It's like, if I remember it correctly, there's like some really like creepy samples, but the song is about baby Jesus.
Yeah,
but it's like daddy. Daddy.
North Star hanging in the sky, shine down. Yeah, I wrote down, I'm maybe over time this song The Baby would grow on me, but for my first listen, I found this very annoying. It is not good. It's, you're right, it's just this non-stop loop of sound that you're just so, like, what is happening?
Here's the way I can describe it, because as you were talking, as we do, so we have the songs playing in our ears sometimes, so just so I can remember what song we're talking about. And the listening to 15 seconds of this, people listening, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go listen to that old T.I. song, Whatever You Like. And then I want you to listen to The Baby by Family Force 5 and tell me it's not the same fucking song. It's just one of them is about baby Jesus. It's not good. But seriously, just sitting here listening to, starting it at 20 seconds in and listening to 8 seconds of it, I'm like, this is just T.I.'s Whatever You Like.
Yeah.
But weird. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But I honestly think we end on a high note.
I agree. I wrote down my favorite version of this song.
Much like last Christmas, I believe that Wonderful Christmas Time, which is the last song on this album, is like quintessential 80s. Like this song, yeah, and
no,
Last Christmas.
It's fantastic.
I want a 7-inch of Last Christmas on one side and Wonderful Christmas Time on the other side, because I think those are two of my favorite Christmas songs, and two songs that for some reason get hated on constantly during the Christmas season. I don't get it.
Yeah, no. Especially, there are people who legitimately will tell you that Wonderful Christmas Time is the end of sentence worst Christmas song that's ever been made.
How?
And that in a world where songs like Leroy the Redneck Reindeer exist, like, come on. We're not even scratching the surface on bad.
We're not.
I mean, there's
we're
a song
really
that
not.
You like that I cannot stand that is worse than this.
Are we talking, which song?
Dominic the Donkey.
Oh, Dominic the Donkey. I thought you were going to go, Santa Claus is a fat bitch.
No, I'm okay with that one.
So, overall thoughts on Family Force 5 Christmas album. Since revisiting, for me, this is still going to be something I listen to yearly, but I'm going to continue my tradition of skipping pretty much 4 to 5 out of the 10 tracks.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, there's... Like I said, I want to add it into my regular rotation, but I also was like, like, my life isn't better now that this has been added to my life, but my life isn't worse because of it either.
Well, here's like, what I'll say, asshole, is that my life isn't better every time you send me a fucking Christmas Christian variety record.
I'm going to challenge you on that and say that Santa Claus is Back in Town cover alone has made your life a little bit better.
I think that's one of my favorite moments of our chat is I feel like at one point, I can't remember the exact thing you said, but you were like, this song's like if Santa Claus is getting ready to go give Mrs. Claus a deep dickin'. That's one of my favorite moments. But I'm going to be honest, this is one of those other weird things about me that everyone has learned at this point. Is weird things make me think of Christmas time. And there are other songs by Family Force 5 that make me think of this time of year more than most of the songs on this record. Like that Dance or Die album puts me in that Thanksgiving mood because I was always listening to it around this time. And I think it's just because we were always doing theater around this time. So I associate it with that memory. I like that era of Family Force 5. This album, not great, but there are songs that I do hold close to me. There are songs on this album that I love in the way that you love some of those songs on the Happy Christmas. Dude, it's Christmas music. I fucking love it. And we're in the midst of the Christmas season. I don't give a shit who you are.
But you know what? Happy Family Force 5 Christmas, Dylan.
Happy Family Force 5 Christmas, Matt. Whoa, oh, whoa, oh, oh, now we won't stop till the big ball drops on New Year's.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.